This is Papa Smurf. You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast with ODB and the Mayor.
You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast, brought to you by Custom Car Show Productions, which includes Orange Beach Invasion, Scraping the Coast, Sick Nick, and Slamber Party. Make sure you search on Facebook Scraping the Coast, Scraping the Coast Show on Instagram. Also, Sparkles Detail. Till Tim and Tanya, ODB and the Mayor, saying you. We out here. Peace.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, I'm married to this gang.
Yo, it's ODB, and this is Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 56, titled Orange Beach Invasion 2018. Want to also give a huge shout-out to All Time Low Magazine and Hammered Weekend Wear. You could follow both on Instagram, click the link within their bio, and make sure you purchase merchandise from them. All Time Low Mag, latest issue, has coverage from Japan. Don't forget, you can subscribe right on their website. Hammered Weekend Wear, All Time Low Magazine. Make sure you check them out. We got you.
Hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice. Got to roll the dice. That's why all my life I've been grinding all my life. Look.
Yo. It's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 56, coming at you from Orange Beach Invasion, right here on the Gulf Coast in beautiful Orange Beach, Alabama. It's been a fantastic show. We've got a few interviews that we're going to bring you on this episode. I think, Mike, we might bust this one into a two-part, but I got Miggity Mike, the mayor, in the house. What's going on, Mike?
What a day, Jay. This has been incredible. The weather has been absolutely beautiful. And if you guys didn't make it out to Orange Beach Invasion this year, you guys definitely missed out. And if you're sitting back and, I got the wife and the kids. Guys, this is the show to bring the wife, the kids. Jay's got his wife with him. I got my wife with me. I got my daughter with me. Dude, there's tons of stuff. If they get tired of the car show and you want to keep talking to your homies and you want to keep, slapping hands and drinking beers, dude, the wife, the kids, there's putt-putt golf here. There's shops here. There's the spa here. There's plenty of restaurants. There's the pool. I mean, there's so much stuff here to do, and it's all right here in the same property. There's the movie theater right here. I mean, there's the arcade. Tons of things to do. So there's no excuses why you can't make Orange Beach Invasion. And like Jay said, we talked to some awesome guys today. We got some great interviews, and we look forward to playing those for you guys. So y'all are definitely in for a treat.
You know it, Mike. And I'll sum it up and say it's not just a truck show or a car show. It's really a weekend away that you can kind of unwind. We're actually sitting on the back of these condos, and we're looking at all the boats right here on this little inlet. Really beautiful. Man, it's really a kick-ass time. But you guys listen to Our Lifestyle, the podcast, to talk about trucks and cars. I tell you, one club that stuck out to me was Acrophobia. We saw some RA guys out there. We talked to Jeff Giles, so we'll bring you some audio from him with his sick B2000. Also, you had a 63 Lincoln that was out there, plenty of lifted vehicles, from American Force and Specialty Forge, I believe it is. So you had some of the title sponsors there. You had, of course, Sparkles Detail, the beautiful D50 from Tim and Tanya. Lots and lots and lots of badass rides. You kind of go around the bend. You even had more stuff. We saw a 63 Impala that was all patina. A OG guy, old school guy from Alabama. So you kind of had that, as Mike mentioned, that family atmosphere of lots of different vehicles. Lifted, lowered, it does not matter at this show. Greg Miller and the whole Custom Car Show Productions really puts on a fantastic show. It's got an awesome vibe. We're actually planning where we're going to go to dinner tonight. And there's plenty of places to eat downstairs, whether you want seafood, steak, burgers, you know what I mean? So, Mike, it's been a good time. We got a chance to sync up with Joe Vincent earlier. And when we break this episode, Mike, into a couple different ones, you'll hear from Joe, and the guy is more than passionate. Any highlights other than the Joe Vincent interview and some of the other interviews that we did? Any other highlights that you wanted to hit upon, Mike?
Jay, we got to talk to Lonnie from good old LST and, of course, Garage Gear. And if you guys haven't hit up LST yet, of course, you know, we're sitting here talking about Orange Beach Invasion. But if you haven't hit up LST, definitely be on the lookout because Lonnie and Radar, they're going to be releasing the dates soon. As soon as they sign that contract, they're going to release those dates. And so definitely be on the lookout for LST. But other than that, we talked to a whole bunch of guys. And, of course, we can't forget about good old Sean Randall and Vanilla Ice. The guy can build a badass truck. He's not very good at interviews, though, I do have to say. Just kidding. Nah, he's a good dude. And he's a little afraid, you know, with the mic in front of his mouth. You know, he was a little afraid. I think he was a little gun-shy. But he made it. You know, we survived. And but, dude, at the end of the day, it was an awesome time. And like Jay said, you know, shout-out to Acro, man. They came, and they came hard. And they got a bunch of badass rides. And, you know, they're out here, and they showed up, and they showed out. That's for damn sure. And there's a great mix of vehicles out here. Yeah, there's a lot of lowered. Yeah, there's a lot of lifted. But, man, you got some hot rods out here, and there's a whole bunch of everything. So, guys, definitely put this show on your list. And it's one of those shows that I like because you can park your car, you can park your truck, and then you're here till, you know, till it's time to go home. You don't need to go anywhere. You got all your restaurants right here, and you got plenty of things to do. And tonight, what's really cool, definitely check out social media because I'm sure it's going to be all over social media tonight with the light show that they put on down here. They got the big Ferris wheel down here on the end, and it's all lit up. They got the music to go with the light show, so definitely look forward to that tonight, and it's just a damn good time. You definitely we'll have a good time coming to Orange Beach Invasion.
That's no doubt. And, of course, many of you are on social media. Greg, for the most part, has one main Instagram page, which is Scraping the Coast Show. However, if you Google Orange Beach Invasion, I think they have a landing page now or website for Orange Beach Invasion registration. Of course, that'll be updated in the coming months for 2019. They also have an event page. Most of us go by our Facebook calendar because, boom, it's right there. That's how you're going to get a chance to see what's coming next year. I think we've seen a lot of respect at this show, and what I mean by that is we're not seeing too many idiots that are trying to do burnouts and things like that, and that's definitely not what you want to do in a real nice high-class facility, the Wharf, like we're at. You want to make sure that you're respecting the area, and that's key because you have people like Greg Miller and so many of these other show promoters, even Mike from a Slamfest standpoint, that they put their necks out on the line. There's a lot of money that's being kind of traded in terms of putting on an event like this, and you want to respect the area because, again, Mike, we're looking at some of these $500,000 boats out here, and we don't want to be pissing these kind of guys off going, hey, these mini truckers out here and these old guys and these, you know, green Chevrolet pickups don't want to be doing burnouts. That's the bottom line. You don't want to be playing the crazy music too loud. You can kind of save that for the block, you know, and kind of cruising. So anyways, man, that's enough preaching for me. It's been a great time. I've really enjoyed it. There's been a lot of good vendors. I stopped by Grindr TV, slapped hands with Brian Good today, bought a hat, bought a keychain. He's the bomb. So many good people. And of course, I mentioned Tim and Tanya. They're out there with the D50 slinging. I don't know how many vehicles they cleaned Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then including tomorrow. They really got their hustle going. Lots and lots of vendors. Really, really good time. And Mike, I just want to say, man, if you want to bring it home for us, Orange Beach Invasion, man, it's been fantastic, brother.
Yes, sir. And guys, definitely be on the lookout for Orange Beach Invasion 2019 because if it's anything like 2018, you definitely do not want to miss it. And with that being said, Airhead Nation, we out.
Gotcha. Peace. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life.
Yo, it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast. We're out at Orange Beach Invasion 2018. We're having a fantastic day. It's beautiful skies, lots of trucks. We got lifted, we've got lowered, we've got hot rods. We've got some patina vehicles out here. Got plenty of show shirts. They're selling out quick. definitely a huge shout out to Sparkles Detail and Greg Miller with the whole Custom Car Show Productions. It's been a fantastic day. One of the highlights of my weekend, I'm going to be honest, is last night the homie Jeff Giles came by and said, "Hey, man, you know, I really love the podcast," and he's representing from Relaxed Atmosphere, South Carolina. So we went over and we took a look at his truck, and, you know, the Mazda is really awesome. And I knew immediately that, you know, Jeff is a cool, down-to-earth, you know, kind of soft-spoken guy. And I said, "Hey, you know, Mike, let's get Jeff on. You know, let's talk a little bit about the truck. You know, he's an old-school mini trucker, and he's had, you know, a lot of success with his truck in kind of a short period of time is the way I'll say it. But, Jeff, I just wanted to say, man, hello, and thank you for coming on the podcast. How's it going?"
"I'm doing great. Thank you, Jason."
"Hey, no problem at all. So tell us a little bit about the truck. You know, anything you can think of or any inspiration that you have from this beautiful blue Mazda B2000.
"Sure, Jason. It's a 1986 Mazda B2000. It's a grabber blue. It's got a lot of subtle mods done to it. It's got Toyota 4Runner bumper on it. It's been extended to meet the body lines. Four-wheel drive sheet metal. It's got Miata door handles, which was a big mod back in the early 2000s that people was doing. I just built it as like a throwback truck for maybe 2000, 2001. The Boyd's on it, 17x7s, Stingrays. They're small, but I just wanted to keep that theme going as the, like an old school mini truck."
"Man, I tell you what, the truck really flows. And when you were telling me a lot about the little things that you were able to pick up from different friends and homies and eBay and whatnot, you know, you've got the clear lenses on it on the front. You got the billet grille. The taillights are the caddy taillights, of course, in the back. The white face gauges. The awesome upholstery on the bench seat. You just look at, you know, it also has the kick panels in it. Has so many subtle nods, if you will, that I'll say, for the mini truck scene. I tell you, it's a beautiful color, as I mentioned, and it's an awesome truck. It really looks good. Now, Mike, Biggity Mike the Mayor, is also in the house. What kind of stood out to you with this awesome blue truck, man?"
"Well, first things first, like Ronnie always says from C10 Talk, we're going to throw him a little shameless plug there because, you know, that's our boy, is it's not always about the trucks because, you know what, this guy is a cool-ass dude. And the thing that we really like is the fact that he has kept it old school, and it's got that, you know, kicking it old school style. And we got a lot of these guys with these mini trucks nowadays. They want to put the biggest wheel they can on it, you know, and this guy's rolling around with 17s. And so, you know, kicking it old school. And like I said before, he's a cool dude, man. First time meeting the guy, and we've definitely chopped it up, as Jay would say, this weekend, and definitely having a good time here at Orange Beach."
"You know it, Mike. You know it. So, you know, Jeff, I had kind of asked you a question, and I said, hey, would you ever sell this truck? You know, just throwing it out there. That's a question that you probably get all the time. But your answer was pretty cool. It was like, hey, I enjoy this truck so much. I know you've got to take it to, a handful of shows. So since you finished the truck, kind of what do you enjoy most about bringing it out, man?"
"Just meeting a lot of new people, made a lot of new friends since I built the truck. When I was building a truck, it wasn't going to be a show truck. It was just going to be a driver. Something to hold my old school bikes in. I'm big into freestyle BMX bikes from the 80s. That's the reason I built the truck, really, just to have something to haul them in, just look cool. But it just kept progressing. A good friend of mine, Jeff Green, he helped me do all the paint and body work on it, and it just couldn't stop till it turned out very nice. And I just enjoy the people and getting to travel and met some really good guys."
"Hells yeah. So a couple things that stand out to me, and you did mention this to me, you got the 4x4 fenders. You also have, which is a mod I remember reading about in mini trucking, you got the 4x4 bedsides. The beautiful bed floor is just raised. It's all kind of the bed liner. Nice feel with the look to it. You've also shaved right behind, like where the doors are at. You know, you've got those kind of pieces that pop in there. Those are all shaved up. And you've got the hood cowl. Looks like it's all shaved. I mean, lots of little subtle mods. What's your favorite mod on this entire truck, man?"
"I would probably say the Cadillac taillights for the simple reason. I cut them down. They're real thin. I don't have pockets inside my bed. And a lot of times people ask me, how did I put Cadillac taillights in there and French them? And they don't have pockets in the bed. That's probably one of my most favorite mods I've done to it."
"Hell yeah. Now, Mike, we know that the homie Greg Miller with Custom Car Show Productions, who's right here, you know, he does a lot of different shows, and he kind of has his rhyme and reason to selecting a vehicle that's on the show shirt. And we've kind of heard from Greg in the past, and he continues to have that awesome eye that he has. We had NR Caddy Queen on one of his shirts as well, I think Scraping the Coast last year. But what would you say to the listeners, if you're looking over here at this tent where they're showing, where they're selling the event shirts? I mean, dude, they came out sick. They've got Jeff's truck on one of the shirts.
Well, the thing about it is with Jeff's truck this year is Greg always does his specialty shirts. And I do have to say that those specialty shirts are completely sold out. I'm not going to sit here and say it's because of Jeff's truck, but it's because of Jeff's truck. And that color blue, it pops. And I know Greg's all about what's going to look the best and what's going to pop on a shirt. And that color blue is definitely what makes it stand out above the rest. And of course, it's old school. So with it being old school, I know Greg was looking, that's what he was looking for when he put that shirt together. So it was definitely a no-brainer. So congratulations, Jeff. I hope you got one of those shirts, and because it's definitely a killer. And to be honest with you, I waited too damn long, and I couldn't get the damn shirt because they were already sold out. So I'm hoping Greg can help me out and hook a brother up with getting him a shirt. So we'll see how that goes.
Hells yeah. You know, Greg, he's been rolling around on this golf cart, really keeping an eye, very close eye and watch on this entire show, as he does with all of his shows. The Wharf has been a fantastic location. And when you walk up on the truck at the Sparkles Detail booth, one thing you're going to notice is it has a sticker on it. And it's the Lowdown at Homestead Hollow, which Mike Murray always talks about. That's Sparkles Detail's show that they have. And it's June 8th and June 9th, 2018. Now, it was pretty cool that Jeff, his truck was also selected for that sticker. And he's got one here on the driver's side front windshield. It's got to be a pretty cool feeling, man. You could stick those on your toolbox or do whatever you want to do. How did that come about? Did they just give you kind of a heads up? I know you kind of have had a good relationship with Sparkles Detail recently.
Yeah, I met Tim at Laid Out at the Park, and we talked. It's like I've been knowing him for years. He talked to me back in the late summer and asked me, he said, would you mind if I put your truck on the sticker for my show next year? I said, sure, I have no problem with it. They good people. They help. They help support the scene, and I'll do anything I can to help them.
That's great, Jeff. And, you know, when we met, you said, hey, I'm listening to the podcast, and we appreciate that. You really see this truck, and I tell you what, it brings me back to, I know as we get older, we always kind of refer back to the simpler days, man. And I couldn't say it any other way. I can't wait to see the continued success of this truck. It's beautiful, man. You're repping RA, Relaxed Atmosphere, South Carolina. And we just know that, you know, just talking to you this short period of time, man, you've talked a lot about different BMX bikes that you have, different projects, and, you know, you and your family, you guys are kind of doing your thing, man. You're good, humble people that support the scene, and we appreciate you, man.
I appreciate it. I just really enjoy what I do, meeting good people and having fun.
Hells yeah. So we got to hear again from Biggity Mike the Mayor. He wants to talk about a mic drop, but I keep telling Mike, man, hey, these microphones are pretty expensive, bro.
And to finish this interview off, we do have to say that, of course, to get this truck looking as good as it looks, one of our sponsors, Sparkles Detail, Jeff uses Sparkles Detail Croftgate products to keep this truck looking as good as it does. So definitely check out Sparkles Detail.
Hells yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I hope to see this truck at many more shows. You know, you're just like us. You can make some. There's some you can make. There's some you can't. We appreciate what you do, Jeff. You can find him. We've tagged him several times on Instagram. If you just look up Jeff, J-E-F-F, and then Giles, that's with a G, G-I-L-E-S, you'll see him on Instagram. Make sure you follow him. But most of all, come up and shake this guy's hand at the show. He's a real down-to-earth guy. And it's been a pleasure talking with you, man. So any last parting words for the Airhead Nation, Jeff?
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout-out to all my buddies who helped me build this truck, the ones we grew up with, all the RA members and all, and my wife and my daughter for helping me get it done.
Well, you're a family-type guy, and I tell you what, man, keep doing your thing. So we just want to say, Airhead Nation, we appreciate y'all. We hope that you're enjoying these interviews. We're going to stitch several of them together for Orange Beach Invasion, Episode 56. Greg Miller does a lot of different shows. This is one of them. You definitely have to put this, as I mentioned at the beginning, on your list. We appreciate y'all. We out here. Peace.
right hand of God. Shine on these bras. Stay on my job.
Yo, so we're continuing our coverage of Orange Beach Invasion 2018. Man, the show is packed. It's beautiful weather, zero rain, as I mentioned earlier. And we're seeing a lot of awesome trucks out here. Mike, one that stuck out to me is one of my favorites, is Sean Randall's full-size crew cab. It was on the cover. We mentioned this in a past episode of the trucking subscription issue. And we've got Sean Randall here. He reps from Acrophobia. He's a real down-the-earth guy with a super sick truck. There's no way to kind of spin that. That's what it is. So, Sean, we just want to say what's up, man, and thank you for coming on the podcast.
Hey, guys. Thank you. We're having a good time down here at Orange Beach Invasion. It's a great show. Second year down here, and it's really mind-blowing that the vehicles that show up here, multiple SEMA bills, cover trucks. It's just a really great show, great weather, great time.
All right, Sean, that was nice that you're sitting here plugging your friend Greg Miller and his show, but let's hear more about Sean and, of course, Vanilla Ice.
All right. It come about, I actually was going to build a dually, and then I seen another truck that I really liked that was my body style on Vanilla Ice, and so we swapped it up. I called Jake McKitty over at Fat Fab Fabrications, and we went to work on it and started out. It was going to be a three-quarter frame, and we got there and got to talking, and we come up with a full frame, and then it went to big brakes, and you know, so we hit up Wheelwood and ordered some 16-inch rotors front and rear, six piston calipers front and rear, and after that we got it back, and it debuted at LST last year, and then we decided we was going to do it for SEMA, so we went to Jason Springle out of Illinois, got it painted, and went to SEMA, and here we are today here at Orange Beach Invasion.
Hells yeah, man. So let me ask you this, like one aspect that we can't bring to the listeners is kind of the feeling that you have of driving a real badass, especially I'll say it like this, a newer vehicle. You see these badass SEMA trucks, we see them, you own one, and there's got to be an awesome feeling of getting in that thing, hitting a button, airing it up, and cruising. What's the feeling of like cruising this thing around? You must get looks and thumbs ups. And just, you know, all that awesomeness from this badass truck, Sean.
Yeah, man, it's really awesome. You know, we get pictures, people taking pictures, you know, pull up at a gas station. Everybody always wants to look at it, take pictures of it. Going down the road, you know, there's pictures being taken, videos being taken. It's really a cool deal. And my thing is, you know, whenever I talk with Jake, I wanted a truck that I could drive. I wanted a show truck / drivable truck. That I had no worries whatsoever going, you know, if I want to drive across country, I could do it. So that's what we built, and I'm extremely happy with it. He did a great job, and it's an amazing truck, to be honest with you. Not to brag because it is mine, but it's definitely a amazing truck to own. So,
hell yeah, man, and we appreciate you telling the story about it. One thing that sticks out to me is the name of the truck and the name on the tag, which was by somebody that shows us a lot of support. I mentioned I'd love to have him on, Phil, at Phil Built. It's Vanilla Ice. Now, I'm from Florida. Everybody knows early 90s, Vanilla Ice rolling in the 5.0 with the ragtop down. That's an awesome name because the truck is white. Can you tell us a little bit about that name?
Yeah, the name actually, when I first done the truck, because it got a lot of looks and pictures, it was actually named Neckbreaker. Well, Greg Miller, he actually decided that it should be called Vanilla Ice because he says it's cold as ice. So, and actually, I really wasn't too keen on the name. And you know how whenever somebody picks on you, you kind of go with it, so they leave you alone. Well, he didn't leave it alone, and then of course it took off, and everybody named it Vanilla Ice, and it's a fitting name, I guess you could say. You know, so that's how it got that name.
Well, one thing that's awesome, dude. One thing that I mentioned to someone recently, I think it was our homie at Jimmy's Rod and Customs, and I mentioned to the homie that owns the truck, man, it must be really badass to take a truck like that probably to the dealership, right? And they're thinking, I mean, one, it's a sick truck, but have you had the opportunity to do that? And like, what are some of the reactions that you get from someone at the dealership, whether it's a salesman or a service guy, dude? Because I mean, it's a brand new truck laid on the ground, Sean.
Yeah, they of course, they like it. They don't really want to work on it because, you know, it is what it is. But they change the oil. They do all that kind of stuff for me. But it actually had to take it to two different dealerships to be able to get them to do that because of it being built like it is. They don't want to be responsible for it. But they all like to take pictures of it and look at it and all that. But they just don't want to actually put hands-on on it, if you will, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. I appreciate that insight because, you know, a lot of the Airhead Nation out there, even me, man, I'm sitting at home going, man, if I had a brand new truck, what would I do with it? And that's pretty kick-ass. I know a lot of the guys that build these trucks, they'll sometimes have a homie that works at a dealership or, you know, an engine light will come on and, you know, you'll take it there and it'll get fixed, man. But it's a super sick truck. It's a crew cab, short bed. I so love the stance on it. It's totally laid out. The graphics were the icing on the cake to me. It's got the painted grill. Interior is super clean. You can't get much more clean than that. And with the brakes, as you mentioned, from Wilwood, it's on point, man. So I just want to say, man, from a fan of the scene, Acrophobia really came hard at this show. And you guys are doing it big, as you always do. And I just want to say... keep doing it up, man. So anything else you got to say, Sean? Anyone else you want to thank or before I turn it over to Mike in a minute?
Yeah, I'd like to obviously thank my wife for allowing me to do the stuff that we do. Jake McKitty over at Fat Fabs, Jason Springle at Springle Innovations in Illinois. I would like to thank Truck Hero, Greg Miller for giving me the awesome name of Vanilla Ice. I'd like to thank you guys. I guess that's it.
Hey, one thing I sometimes forget to ask, and I know this is at the end of the interview, so thanks for kind of giving those shout-outs there. A lot of people want to know, what does a guy do like you, like in terms of profession? So I'm kind of like a project manager. A lot of guys kind of wonder, you know, especially if it's a new up-and-comer guy. He may want to build a truck like this in the future. Can you give us a quick rundown of what you do, like as far as your daily job?
Yeah, I work for the Alabama State Docks. I'm actually equipment operator down at the Alabama State Docks, and I also own like a buy and sell cars and trucks like that on the side. I've been doing equipment work all my life. You know, I owned a construction company years ago, and then that's what I do. So
hell yeah! Well, thanks for that insight, man. It's really cool because we like to get an opportunity to know the person. As Mike says, and as Ronnie says on C10 Talk, it's not always about the trucks. We love that insight on who the person is. So, Mike, I know you've had an opportunity to kind of dance around here a little bit with the homies and whatnot. Anything else you wanted to ask the homie Sean Randall, Vanilla Ice?
Well, Mr. Randall, is there anything else in the future besides, you know, now that Vanilla Ice is where Vanilla Ice is there any future plans on Vanilla Ice, or are we going to go ahead and put this one to bed and start on something new?
This one right here is probably going to be put to bed. I've actually got a Camaro that we're working on, but that's more of a project for me and my boys that we're doing. It's not really, I mean, it's going to be a cool little ride, kind of a hot rod slash. It will be on air. You know, it's going to have it's got a 6.2 liter. It's a 1980 model, and it's just going to be on billets, some 20 by 11 billets on the back, 20 by 9s on the front, and might even go down to a 18 by 9 on the front. But it's going to be more of a hot rod slash cruiser kind of ride. But after that, then I don't know, man. I really want to do a Toyota Tundra. So who knows? We might get with the guys over at Fat Fabs and work something up on a new build in the next year or so.
Hell yeah, I love those roll-down back windows, man. I tell you what, that's my favorite mod of all time, and those have it factory, so I'm down with that one. The last question I have for you, Sean, is something I don't want to miss out on. Greg Miller from Custom Car Show Productions does several shows, including Orange Beach Invasion, and I tell you what, this guy really puts it down for the scene. I've seen some stuff on the internet, or the internets, as they call it, and there's talks of you doing a show, kind of partnering up with Greg. And you gave me a little bit of insight last night. I think it's going to go down in Louisiana. Can you tell the listeners just a little bit about that show and that idea? Anything else you want to share?
Yeah, so it's going to be called Bayou Showdown, and it's in Kenner, Louisiana. It'll be September the 29th and 30th of this year. It's going to be right on Lake Pontchartrain Lake, and it's at Lake Town Park. It's gonna be really cool. I think we've had a lot of feedback from different people, you know, in the scene, and a lot of people's hit us up, and I really feel like it's going to be a good – plus, it's Greg Miller. So, you know, he, like you said, he puts on awesome shows, and I couldn't think of anybody else to really partner up on something like this. And I think it's going to be a cool deal, and I'd love to see everybody come out and support it, and like to see everybody there. You can go on event page on Facebook, Bayou Showdown. Go check it out. Hit going if you're going, and or interested if you're just interested. And any information you need to know, you can inbox myself, Greg Miller, or you can call me at 251-648-3492. I'll answer any questions for anybody. Or like I say, you can just go on the Facebook page and inbox or whatever you want to do.
Hells yeah. Well, for a minute, I thought it was the Mike Jones song, man. He was going to start throwing it out there. But, hey, man, Sean, it's been a pleasure. It really has. We're looking forward to the show. We cannot wait. I tell you, years ago, the Katrina victims and that whole area has been devastated. So I love to see the love that's being put back into the community there. And I know you're not from that particular area, but when we talked about it, you said, boom, it's a great location for a show. And I couldn't agree more. Years ago, I went to the Lake Charles show back in the day, and it was a fantastic time. So, hey, man, definitely appreciate your time. And Mike, I just want to say, hey, anything else you got to say about the homie Sean Randall before we end it out and go to the next victim?
All we got to say is just thanks for having us, being here with us today, Sean, and keep doing what you're doing. And it's good to see you and the family all out here enjoying this great show all together, because that's what it's really all about, guys, is he's got, you know, his wife's here supporting him. She's actually sitting back behind him right now, laughing at his ass, taking pictures and watching him shaking his boots because he's, you know, on a podcast that nobody listens to anyway. So it really doesn't matter. I don't know why he's so scared. Two listeners. I think we're up to three now, Jay. We got Sean now. We roped him in, so he's actually going to listen to this one. But with that being said, it's awesome. This show is great because you can bring your family out. You can bring your wife out. You can bring your kids out, and they can enjoy it, and they can have a good time, even if they're not into cars. So that's what's so cool about this show. And so it's good to see that he's got his kids out here, and he's got his wife out here enjoying it as well. So with that being said, Airhead Nation, we out.
Peace.
Up on the G-Funk era. You don't know how things are going for RNG. Him soon turned superstar.
That was my intro, but now I'm making dough. I'm rolling us exposed.
Yo, it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast. We're out here continuing our coverage of Orange Beach Invasion 2018. It's been a great show so far. We've checked in with a few of the showgoers as well as the vendors. And there's an awesome vendor out here. There's no stranger to the truck scene. He's tied in with Lone Star Throwdown, the homie Lonnie. He's also representing with his family Garage Gear Clothing. So make sure on Instagram you check out Garage Gear Clothing. We wanted to check in with you, man, and see how things are going. I know it's been a great day. What's new, man?
Yeah, having a good time here at Orange Beach Invasion. Got the Garage Gear booth set up, and turned out to be an awesome day. Good weather, had rain, but we haven't seen it.
Hell yeah, and I know Mike loves Garage Gear Clothing. We were talking about a little bit with Lonnie and Radar, as I mentioned on one of the past episodes. We're going to have them on real soon to do a real nice wrap-up of Lone Star Throwdown 2018. I see you got the Yeti over here with the sticker on it. Man, dude, LST is a kick-ass time. But Mike, I want to check in with you, man. I know you've been talking to Lonnie lately. What's new, brother?
Well, Lonnie mentioned rain, so I think he knows firsthand about this whole rain thing, and we can't not talk about rain and LST. They got to go hand in hand. But like I told Lonnie yesterday, it's pretty awesome when we can have the weather that we had at LST and still have the turnout that we had at LST. Like I was trying to tell Lonnie yesterday, you know you've made it to that pinnacle when the Super Bowl of all shows can go off with no hitch like it did and still have all that rain. I mean, we had Ronnie from C10 Talk out there with his canoe out there floating down the damn middle of the you know, vendor row. I mean, where do you see that at? And still, you got pictures galore, you got videos galore, and everybody's still having a damn good time. So after all that said, how did everything turn out? How did everything go? I mean, you guys are, it looks like you already got your dates posted. What's the dates again for next year? You know, give us the lowdown on that real quick.
Man, we were very, very blessed to have the show that that we ended up having. The rain scared the hell out of us. It rained for several days before the show, and then it broke free. Friday was beautiful, blue skies. Had a lot of people come out and show us support. Saturday was crazy packed. A little cloudy, but it never rained. And we really did awesome. Sunday didn't do as well. Sunday it poured. But Friday and Saturday, we're very lucky. We had an awesome time. And we wouldn't be able to do it without our staff, all the support, everyone that still continued to come to the event. To, you know, I have to give them props. You know, we can't do this. We put it on, but if people don't show up, it's not a show. So for that, I mean, we're truly blessed and very humble that that even for you, Mike, to say that it's the Super Bowl of shows. You know, I don't see it that way, but when other people say that, definitely gives me chill bumps. You know, this is our life, man. I've grown up. I've been around this my whole entire life, and for me and Todd to throw this show and it's turn out the way it has is a complete blessing.
Hells yeah, man! It's definitely one that you have to add to the show list each year. It continues to get bigger and bigger. They've done a fantastic job with the whole pre-registration piece. Whether you love it or hate it, it had to have been done. It's a huge facility. It's definitely one of the shows you need to make sure you're attending. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, I know that, you know, it's kind of a family affair, Lonnie, but with Garage Gear Clothing, to me, I look at it, I love the logo on it. It has a really cool kind of, I'll call it an Art Deco, kind of old school looking little garage. And it seems like it's a really cool thing. I see your son's here, your wife's here, and you guys are, I mentioned on Instagram, kind of slinging this new little thing. Is this kind of a side venture, or what was the inspiration behind putting together something that's so cool that you can come out here and sit under the shade with a nice tent and sling some gear?
Man, we actually, the Garage Gear name come from a buddy of ours. We bought it from him. It was already a clothing company. The Garage Gear name, the logo, everything, we loved it. You know, because we look at it as it's a brand for anything. It could be that you know, that guy that plays, tinkers with his, you know, lower truck or jacked up truck, all the way to street cars, race cars, to side-by-sides, to motorcycles. It's anything. Man, we're all gearheads. Anything with wheels on it, we're into. So Garage Gear, you know, when me and Todd actually bought it from Micah, and we turned it into what it is now, and man, we're going forward with it. We want it to be, we have Garage Girl, we got Garage Kids, we got Garage Gear, so we have everything for the family. We want it to be, you know, I have two daughters, so I want it to be, you know, have my two kids, my two daughters in the garage with me, doing oil changes, doing just little stuff, man, changing windshield wipers, anything. So for me to have the kids involved in it, it truly is a family, you know, thing to do together. And we're truly blessed with this thing really taking off. And I love seeing people wear it, and I love the interaction at the booths, talking with people, everything. It's just it's everything that we stand for.
Okay. All right. So, Lonnie, it's great hearing about hey, me and you both, brother. It's great hearing about Garage Gear, and I love the logo because, like you said, it wraps it all into one, and it covers all genders, all makes and models. It's all into one because we're all gearheads at the end of the day. Now, getting on to talking about vehicles, we know you're working on a project. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the project that you are working on, and let's hope that this project that we know is in the garage, when's it going to be out of the garage?
Well, it's Project Schlongbed. It's a 1975 Ford F-100. Man, it's a thorn in my side. It's driving me nuts. But I think most people will understand when it's a project like this, it takes time. I've gone 10 steps forward and 100 backwards. But at this point here, it's at that last stretch where, you know, it's it's the $100 here, $500 here. It's almost there. I'm missing hood hinges, little bitty small things. I got an oil cooler I need to put on it, hood hinges, and hooking up some lines. So it's almost there. And I hate to even call it out because I said I was going to have it at LST and I didn't. But at Battle in Bama, I'm taking it to it. So it's going to run. It may not have a hood on it, but it will definitely be there. And I really hope to have the hood on it and have it presentable. That's one thing. I do not want to push this thing on or off a trailer anymore. So I'm really excited to finally get this project out of the garage. It's been, you know, six and a half years in the making, and I can't wait to get it out and get it and, you know, just enjoy it. I want to enjoy it with my family. I want my wife, my son in the middle. I mean, I want to go cruising this thing. I really want to enjoy it. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it's going to pull out of a enclosed trailer at Battle in Bama, making a lot of noise.
Hells yeah, and I'll tell you this, man. I thought I was the only one that had the whole pusher mentality. I've been pushing stuff for years, even finished trucks, but... You know, I tell you what, you really nailed it. You got the family tied in. We talked a little bit about the Garage Gear Clothing, the awesome truck. I know Garage Gear Clothing, you can easily search that on Instagram. Can you share your Instagram info just for anybody that wants to follow you and see photos of the truck?
On my project, it's Project Slongbed, and you can check it out on my personal Instagram, which is NC_LONNIE, so it's NC_Lonnie, and our garage gear is Garage Gear Clothing on Instagram, and Lone Star Throwdown is Lone Star Throwdown, all one word. So definitely check out those three, and the hashtag is Project Schlongbed, and you can check that. It has tons of all the years. You can go back and see the dates. So it's a little bit depressing when you look back on it and you see some of the, you know, 2012, 2013, and you're like, we're in 2018. So it doesn't look good for me, but definitely I think anybody that's building a project can understand it, and you're not alone,
guys. And this is definitely not no lie, because his wife's sitting here laughing at him the whole time. So definitely not lying right now. He's sweating half to death, and it's not because it's hot out here. It's because he's talking about his project. But we definitely appreciate you coming on and talking about the show, talking about your garage gear, and talking about your project. Because me myself, I got one, and I think we're 4 years into the making. And but I promise you, it is coming out soon. Damn it, and it will be completely done for LST 2019, and it will be there. That I promise, and I will be driving it. No more on a damn trailer, none of that crap. We will be driving it. Can't wait. Gonna drive it. That's why we're building it. New motor, new transmission, the whole nine yards. But definitely appreciate you coming on, and the Airhead Nation telling your story, and we look forward to having you and Radar back on again, and we'll talk more about LST, because what we want to do is we want them to nail down those dates again for next year, and then we can give a complete wrap-up of LST 2018. But thanks again. Thanks for coming on, and hey, Airhead Nation, we're out.
Gotcha. Peace.
I'm racing.
Yo. So as we've continued our coverage of Orange Beach Invasion 2018, as I mentioned, we've checked in with several people out here, vendors, and it's been an awesome day. Thanks, everyone, for continuing to listen to each of these interviews. It's been enlightening to be able to kind of sync up with some of the people that continue to listen and support our podcast. But with Custom Car Show Productions comes several shows a year, which we've talked about. And one of those is the show we're at now, Orange Beach Invasion. We've got a gentleman here by the name of Joe Vincent. And Joe is a really high-end, I'll say a high-end painter, but he really does some badass shit, so we're going to talk to him now. The awards that he helps with, not just for Orange Beach Invasion, but Scraping the Coast and other shows, are pretty awesome. So, Joe, we just want to say welcome. How's it going today, man? Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Absolutely. Today's an awesome day. Any day out here at Orange Beach. Last year, the year before, just a great venue. Really good weather out here. It's a laid-back show compared to most shows. Like it's Scraping the Coast, I'm so busy talking to so many people, trying to balance all the jobs that I have, talk to people about current jobs coming up, and just mainly talking to people that want to talk. I really don't have time to get to everybody. That hits me hard because I like to be able to get to everybody, do things for everybody. Here at Orange Beach, it's a little more laid back. I can spend more time with people, talking with them. If they've got questions about paint, I've got people that come up all the time and ask me, you know, especially, you know, the Jeep. They ask me, is this a wrap or is this paint? And you get into it talking about it. I just love the custom industry, period. You know, I've been in the custom industry in and out for about 26 years now. All right. I started when I was 15 years old airbrushing. That's a long time ago. I had a guy named by the name of Brett Guidry back home, took me under his wing to teach me airbrushing on T-shirts. So here it is at 16 years old, he puts me in a flea market in Baton Rouge airbrushing T-shirts at 15 years old. All right, 16, 17, 17, I decided to join the military. Well, during that time frame, I've always held on to it, always done custom work, always done airbrushing. And then 2005, I ran into, by accident, I was at a show locally back home in Gonzales, Louisiana, and a friend of mine had me go up there to go airbrush on a bike live at the show. It was like, man, you get a lot of business, you need to come up here and do that. So I went up there to do that, and all of a sudden I look behind me, and here are seven of the guys that all I do is read about in books and watch DVDs of pinstriping and airbrushing. We're talking about legends like Tom Kelly, Steve Kafka, Babu, you know, all these guys that are in there, Howie. And they're all in there looking over my back watching me do this job. So I'm sweating buckshot, right? These are the grandfathers of custom paint that I've grown up doing nothing but reading about and never met them in person. And now they're looking over my shoulder to do a job. They brought me in under their wings, and I participated in their panel jam there. Phenomenal experience. Tom Kelly and Steve Kafka really took me under their wings, wouldn't let me out of their sight, which was a really good thing. And that's when I started pinstriping in 2005. I would come around the shows probably about 10 years ago to scraping. Couldn't give pinstriping away at that time. So at that time, I got really busy doing a lot of bikes for a local bike builder back home. We're doing a ton of bikes, probably close to about 200 to 250 bikes a year. All right. And then finally, Greg and his partner at the time came back to me when I was at the bike shop, and they asked me if I would mind coming back out to the industry to pinstripe. So a couple of years ago, I came back out, started pinstriping and airbrushing on the scene again, and that's when I got with Greg to custom do his awards for scraping, which grew to pretty much any event that Greg does and needs special awards. I do those specialty awards for him, like the fish here at Orange Beach. And the one thing I say is I apologize for everybody that's come up to ask me to buy the fish. A lot of people, some people have gotten mad today because I wouldn't sell them to them with their awards. But it's also let me know that maybe I need to bring some of those painted to have available just to the general public. You know, I'm trying to accommodate as many as I can, you know, what they want. Sometimes I can't. I'm human. I drop the ball on things sometimes, you know. Sometimes things take longer than we want them to. But I enjoy what I do.
Well, you're definitely damn good at what you do. That's for damn sure. And there's no doubt about that. And how did you get started doing the awards for Greg? I mean, how did that start? And how did Joe Vincent's going to do our awards? Because, guys, if you have not seen the awards for Scraping the Coast, Orange Beach Invasion, Sicknick, and Slamber Party, he does them all. This is the man behind all those baddest awards that everybody waits till, because we know Greg Miller and his award ceremony doesn't happen till 7 o'clock at night on Sunday. We all know that. But you know what? All you guys don't mind waiting for it because y'all want to know if y'all won one of these badass awards. So with that being said, how did you get started and how did this all happen doing these awards for Greg Miller?
Roped in is about right. Greg suckered me into that, man. Yeah, kick you in the shins, Greg. No, just kidding, man. I love him to death. He just come to me and asked me one time, I forget, it had to be like 5 years ago when he approached me to do the awards for scraping. And I was like, cool, we'll do some metal surfboards, you know. We did those, and they were a big hit. And he's like, dude, he says, I don't want to use anybody else for the boards. You know, he says, I want you to do them every year. So it's been a good, strong run for 5 years now. And it's a painstaking run because a lot of times, man, we can't get everything that we need right away. Like the big surfboards, they're just mailing those out this week. Like, he got confirmation yesterday that the boards are being mailed out. The small serve boards aren't back from the fabricators yet. We're 2.5 months out from the shop. I mean, from the show. So that means when I get them in, I've got to shut everything down that's going on in my shop for 2 months to crank out 18 3-foot serve boards and 7 7-foot serve boards with all these graphics. And I don't take any shortcuts or none of that stuff. Everything that's done is done just like I would do on someone's ride with a quality paint job from the ground up. I use quality sealers, quality paint, Matrix products, some House of Colors products on it. And I don't cut any corners. I'll layer the clear, layer the candy, layer the leafing, things like that, just like you would to make a durable paint job on a ride. So those that get these awards, yeah, they're badass. They look great. You know, they're phenomenal. But they should last a long time as well. And it also gives me an outlet, too, to where I can go and pretty much show off what I can do, the roundabout experience that I have in the industry, whether it be from striping, whether it be from airbrushing, whether it be from candy painting, a solid color, whatever. There's a lot of different techniques that I've forgotten more than I use because I've been doing it for so long. And a lot of people don't realize that in the show industry, probably about 10 years ago, I used to build a lot of show vehicles, trucks, cars, you name it, from Louisiana, and no one really knew it was behind me because everybody that would build one for us, like, it was a secret thing. They didn't want no one to know where they got their vehicle done from, which sucked for me business-wise because nobody wanted to give me props. But then I would go out and see them at all the shows, and, I mean, they were collecting awards, knocking heads off back then, and some of them, to this date, painted 15 years ago, are still placing first in their categories. So, yeah.
Dude, that's amazing, man. And I tell you, it kind of just shows when you have quality work and the craftsmanship, and as you mentioned, Joe, the product, that's what kind of stands the test of time, so to speak. Now, on Instagram, if you look up Vincent Designs, that's V-I-N-C-E-N-T, and then it's Designs with a Z, you'll see Joe Vincent. And I tell you what, like, I'm looking at the photo from 2 days ago, and you look at the purples and the oranges. To me, I mean, some of these different paints and stuff, they just blow me away. I love the colors. I've always said this on the podcast. I can't draw a stick figure. So when I see someone that can draw a rendering, or I'm looking at the Jeep here, the Rock Crawler, that's got like the Spider-Man type octagon deal on it, and it's got the black, and it's real deep looking. To me, that's beyond artwork because I can't do any of it. So I got a lot of respect for someone like you. I liked Mike's question about what got you started. My question is, where do you see yourself in the future? Like, you know, paint is, we all know what paint is today, but, you know, we're starting to see automobiles go from gas engines to electric and things like that. Where do you see the paint industry or yourself in 10, 15 years?
Well, hopefully everything will still keep going as strong as it is today when it comes to paint. I don't think custom paint will ever die. Some of the rap guys say that paint is dead. You know, and that's just a slogan that they use to push wraps and things like that. The bottom line is, you wrap a vehicle, you've got a 5-year lifespan on it, pretty much. And then if you let it go for that whole 5 years or afterwards, it ruins the paint underneath over time. Paint, when it's done right from the ground up, it'll last you 20 years, 25 years, as long as you take care of it. And that's the thing is, there's a lot of people that want to get into custom industry and do custom paint, and it's more about than more than just throwing paint on there. There's actually a lot of chemistry, a lot of science behind these products, the way they're developed, and they're supposed to be developed or used the way they were developed. And if not, you're going to have failures, all right? And you see that everywhere in the industry. People push pigments past where they need to go, you'll have failures. Like with candy paint jobs, their maximum strength is 20% as far as pigment concentration to your resin carrier. A lot of people exceed that, so you're going to have cloudiness, you're going to have splotchiness, you're going to have fading, you're going to have dieback, all kind of problems in there. But if you just take and use your brain a little bit and say, okay, if I'm oversaturating, let's back that saturation down to 10%, or like I did on the Jeep, down to 5%. Now I've got 5% candy concentrates in there or pigments in there. I've got more UV inhibitors that surround those pigments to protect them from the UV light. That's why I can have this out in the sunlight every day. I drive it as a daily driver. And it's a candy. People say you're nuts for taking it down a gravel road. Yeah, I am. You can say that. I'm certified nuts, all right? But I'll tell you right now that I can't push and sell a paint job to somebody if I don't know its limits. And that I want to know that it's going to uphold the way that I want it to uphold before I go and sell that to a client.
Well, I can tell you what, Mike, sitting here looking at Joe, Joe reminds me of my buddy back, my buddy Paul back home. Man, you look a lot like him. You got the goatee. You know, you got the badass kind of low cut, man. I like that. But I'm telling you, you can look at this guy straight up, and this guy is he. You got me sold, man. I want to take my Lincoln to you, bro. But seriously, man, you, I can see your real deal, man. I always say real deal, Holyfield, but. The passion is what the listeners can't see, but they can hear it. I can hear it in your voice, and I tell you that goes a long way. As you mentioned, you know, there's ups and downs in any industry, but you've kind of stood the test of time. You've been able to, it looks like, from what I could tell meeting you, expand out where you needed to, and you're not kind of one-hit wonder, so to speak. You know, you do a lot of stuff. I want to hand it over to Mike as we kind of wrap it up here and see if you know what are the questions you want to ask. Because we definitely need to have Joe back on, as Greg mentioned, for an entire series, man. I mean, this is huge.
No, Jay, you definitely nailed it there, because the insight and the detail and the descriptions of this whole thing is like, whoa, wow, it's got my attention for sure. And seeing his Jeep that he has here next to us in person, if you guys have not seen this thing in person, definitely be at Scraping the Coast, because I'm sure that's where it's going to be at next. It's going to be at Scraping the Coast, and come check this damn thing out, because it's That's coming up. We're going to talk about that too. But definitely, guys, check it out at Scraping the Coast, because it's definitely going to be there. But Joe's got a big announcement too, because he's pretty proud of what's going to be going on next week. So tell us a little bit more about what's going to happen next week, Joe.
Absolutely. I've been, like you said, there's ups and downs. I've been grinding for many years. And those that have followed me closely and watched me through the years know that I've never given up. I've went through different heartache. There's some deep down core stuff that we could get into as far as commitment goes, because everybody says they're committed, they're fully committed, they're all in, stuff like that. Are you all in enough in the custom industry to actually go homeless and live in your shop because you don't want to give up on your dream? I've been there. I've done that. I'm not giving up. I'm not going anywhere. And I've been pushing and pushing, and finally I'm starting to get some notoriety on a national level. And this is the first time I'll actually be going out to Green Bay next weekend to the new Autorama. They've invited me to come up and participate in a huge panel jam with some very famous artists, and artists have been in the industry, leading the industry for a long time. You've got people like Ryan Counts, Rob Churchill, people like that that's going to be there. Some of these older pinstripers, Mark Hagstrom, things like that. These guys are people that I've looked up in the industry for a long time, looking at and watching their work. And I'm actually getting a chance to go in there and to perform with these guys, to airbrush, to pinstripe, to pretty much just show dog at the Autorama and show off my skills along with all the other artists there, and get to hang out with some really good people. Bottom line, there's so many good people in this industry, it's unreal. When you really look at the people for who they are, yeah, you got some bad apples everywhere and anything that you look in. But for the majority of it, the people in this industry, man, are really good, kind-hearted people, down to earth, and they work hard for what they've got. So they respect it. They respect what you do. You know, when you look at that overall, and you look at the industry, some people look at this and they're like, oh, this guy's into lower trucks, or oh, this guy's into lifted trucks. Man, it doesn't matter what you're into. The bottom line is it's all custom, you know. I got a Jeep. I love bag trucks too. It doesn't – anything custom I love. And that's one thing that's helped me to survive the time frame, because 1 year, candy paint's up. Next year, pinstriping's up. Next year, pinstriping's down. So the market fluctuates, and what people want and desire, the trends change all the time, and you have to stay on top of them. And I backfill with a lot of things behind the industry, logo designs for companies, custom painted firearms for firearm builders back home. There's three companies that I work for back home that I'll go in and do custom finishes on firearms. So there's a lot of things that I can do. I can pick up and go anywhere in the world and do what I do, whether it be on a car, whether it be on a bike, whether it be on a piece of artwork. Hey, I'll paint your toenails. I don't care.
I can always use a good paint job on my toenails. Now, you know, one thing I do want to say is last year was actually I think it was 2 years ago was the first time that I actually met you at Scraping the Coast. And I tell you one thing that really impressed me was your wife. Your wife is there side by side with you, and she's there pinstriping with you in your booth. And I thought that was awesome. And also the support that you have from your wife and with your wife working side by side doing something that both of you guys love doing. And that to me was cool as shit, because Joe doesn't have all the time in the world. When he tells you he's swamped at scraping a coast doing work, his wife's right there answering all the questions. And if she can pinstripe it, she's going to pinstripe it for you. And she'll get the damn job done, and she'll get it out. And I think that's pretty awesome that your wife can be there and she can do – I'm not going to say she does just as good as you, but I tell you what, she's pretty damn good, I do have to say. So, you know, give us a little, you know, story, you know, the behind the story there with the wife as well.
All right. I tell you, Crystal's been a blessing because, and a lot of people don't know that, when I first met her, I was in that moment where I was actually homeless and living out of my shop and, dude, hanging on to everything that I got, pushing and trying to live that dream. And then I met her, and it really gave me a renewed passion, not just towards the industry, but towards life itself in general. And she's helped me to keep my head straight, to set goals, to achieve goals. We've been very goal-oriented. We've accomplished a lot over the past couple of years, and there's so much more that we want to accomplish. You know, getting kids involved, you know, that's one thing that we love doing at Scraping. If we can set up a table to where we can get some kids to come by, we do that every year at Scraping, to where we can get the little ones involved, because it's a dying art. If we don't start getting people excited about that, getting people into it, dude, it's going to die off. And that's one of my biggest fears. One of the things that I approached some of the executives at Valspar and House of Colors and Sherwin-Williams this past year at SEMA, I approached them because this has been a therapy for me. All right, it's been very therapeutic. Yes, I do it for a living. Yes, I pump this stuff out for clients left and right. And everybody thinks sometimes that I'm a machine and I just keep pushing things out. But behind the scenes, there's some deep, dark things that were going on with me that this has helped. It's actually saved me. You know, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for custom painting, because I'm able to lock myself in and focus on some of this stuff. Coming back from some of the stuff that I did, it was hard to cope, hard to make that transition back into civilian life, hard to cope with dealing with people. I still fight that and still have issues with that. And some people, they may not realize that about me. It's not that I'm coming across that, you know, I'm better than anybody or anything like that, because I'm not. I'm just as good as everybody else. You put your pants legs on the same way that I do, one at a time, all right? This has helped me to refocus on things, and I wanted to reach out through the corporations and see if they wanted to get behind me, because I'd really like to set up something to where we can take veterans that are coming back from overseas that are suffering from PTSD, that are suffering from other stress disorders and things like that, and bring them in and teach them the industry, teach them the OEM industry, teach them the custom industry, and teach them a way to take and channel that energy and to actually have something, to set a deadline, to have something to focus on. So behind the scenes, that's some things that I've been working on with the executives. They're doing some homework working on, and I'm getting to a point now to where if I don't start passing this stuff on, it's going to die with me. And I realize that, man. I'm a middle-aged man. I could pass away tomorrow. You know, you never know. And then all of that knowledge, everything dies with me, and I'm not able to pass it on to people. So I really, in the future, you asked what I look for in the future, where I want to go. Eventually, I'd like to get into where I can go around from town to town or to different places, to different shops, and teach things. You know, I want to teach more people the right way to do things, to where they get in there and they have an issue, how to overcome that properly. Because if I do that, that's a way that I can impact the whole custom industry. I can't paint everything on my own. There's no way. I'm only one dude. But if I go in and help others to bring up their quality of paint, to bring up their quality of finish, their quality of bodywork, their quality of metal fab, you know, overall, that's making a huge impact on the entire industry. And it's something that needs to be done.
And with that being said, I firsthand seen that at LST this year, because our good friend Daniel Smith had one question for him, and I'm sitting over there, my hands tied, and I'm like, damn, guys, I think we're here in an hour in this conversation already. And he, Joe, detail, step by step of what Daniel needed to do to get that helmet painted, to get that tank painted. And, hey, did you try this? Did you try that? So the man is definitely – what he sits here and says, he's definitely doing. Anybody that has a question, anybody that has you know, needs help with anything that has to do custom painting, pinstriping, whatever, the guy, when he tells you he's there to help you, he's definitely there to help you guys for sure. With that being said, we definitely need to have Joe back on and do an hour-long you know, conversation, because this is great. This is awesome. And if you guys haven't enjoyed this, I don't know what the hell you're going to enjoy then, because this is real deal Holyfield, as Jay would say. So with that being said, Jay, let's go ahead and get this wrapped up and let this guy get back to work, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. And I just want to say, man, check out Vincent Designs. Like I said, I can look at this guy right here in his eye, and I can tell that he's got passion for it. And a lot of people say they're about that life. But for someone like Joe to be able to lay down and literally over the years continue keeping that pedal stomped, that throttle, all the way pedal to the metal is awesome. Anything in closing that you'd like to share, Joe?
In closing overall to everybody out there, I want to thank everybody that has come through the years and supported me, whether it been just to come by and say thank you, good job, pat on the back, attaboy, whatever, to those that have actually been clients, customers to deal with me. I want to thank all of you out there, the ones behind the scenes that have supported me that I haven't given credit to. I apologize, but I'm really grateful for all of you. And keep it up. Everybody in the custom industry, man, don't give up on your dreams. You know, you got to buckle down and determine how bad you really want something and be willing to give up everything to get it. And when you finally do, it's going to be worth it tenfold.
Well, that's a fist bump right there, homie. Keep doing your thing. Check out Vincent Designs on Instagram. We'll be sharing a lot of his photos, so just tap on that and hit follow. Also, make sure if you're not at Orange Beach Invasion, you hit up Scraping the Coast. And any other event that Vincent or Joe Vincent's at in the future. Bottom line, we appreciate Joe. We got you. Peace.
You'll be coming out of mommy's stomach soon. I better do something quick if I'ma be able to support you. I can barely support me, but as long as you're healthy, that's all that matters for the time being. But obviously, assuming you will be, just thinking ahead, I'ma make it if it kills me. Let's see how far I can take it with this music. I'm getting sick of chasing this illusion. Sorry for sloppy writing, the pen in my hand is shaking. Please excuse me, Dad's a little nervous, but at the same time excited. If I use the same energy while I'm saying rhymes and writing with the same passion and the same exact enthusiasm as I'm using in this letter, maybe they can feel me as I'm trying to build these castles out of sand, baby girl. For you to sit on the throne, I got plans, baby girl. Welcome to Mom and Dad's crazy world. Love, Daddy, maple flavor kisses, buttered pancakes and syrup.
Dear Haley,
you got your mama's personality, same eyes as I got, her beautiful smile, but your ears are the same size as mine are. Sorry for that little minor mishap, but you grow into them, baby. I'm on the grind now, I'm doing little shows, open mics, all nighters at studios. While I'm trying to keep the lights on, why does it seem like I'm so close to this dream? Yet so far, I just keep steering. I'ma turn into someone, I haven't the slightest clue what I'ma do if it falls through. You took your first step today, you probably walk soon. My infinite CD block, too many soft tunes. They're talking bad about Dad, it's ticking me off too. Makes me feel like I don't belong or something. Ooh, I think I might have just stumbled onto something new. Got a prediction for the future, I'm hoping that you open this envelope when you're older and it holds true.
Dear Haley.
Now if you found these letters, I guess I better try to explain. A lot's happened in between them since I rise to this fame. I said your name, but always tried to hide your face. This game is crazy, I wanted to claim my love for you, but dang, I never knew it'd be like this. If I did, I wouldn't have done it. You ain't asked for none of this shit. Now you're being punished. Things that should have been private with me and your mother is public. I can't stomach, they can take this fame back, I don't want it. I put out this last album, then I'm done with it. 100% finished, fed up with it, I'm hanging it up. Fuck it!
Excuse the cursing, baby, but just know that I'm a good person. Though they portray me as cold, and if things should worsen, don't take this letter I wrote. It's a goodbye note, but your dad's at the end of his rope. I'm sliding down a slippery slope. Anyway, sweetie, I better go. I'm getting sleepy. Love, Dad. Shit, I don't know.